Pickling artichoke hearts, almost a Thai way, and most definitely like a boss. Pickling like a boss, by Pratichaya Punyarit. I got 2 bags of frozen artichokes from Trader Joe's, so I thought I would turn them into pickled veggies. Artichoke is a vegetable, y'all. It's young, budding flower and such a pain in the boob to peel to the core. The story. I first met artichokes when I saw a huge pile of them, fresh and natural, at a modern supermarket in the 70s. It happened to be in a larger town in French countryside. I say modern because back then, not even France had supermarkets in every town. I was 9.5 years old, and my sister was a month short of 5. It was one of my first road trips outside Thailand, and my first time traveling by air. June in Thailand is always rainy. It rains giant-sized buckets from the sky, which pour down on you at the same time each day and all the time. So when my mom and dad were getting ready to take their trip to accept an award in London, they decided to take us along, and not only my sister and me, but also my kunyai, my mom's mom. Then kunyai said to my mother, "But wait, your younger sister and her husband are studying for their PhDs in Toulouse. Why shouldn't we meet them in France?" Then, once my mom called my aunt, we used operator to connect, and phones were stationary and rotary, y'all. My aunt, who didn't want her husband to feel sad, suggested that my parents invite his father on the trip as well. It ended up being a trip for 6. My parents traded 2 first-class tickets and got us 2 half-price tickets and another ticket for my mom's mom. My aunt's father-in-law paid for his own. My parents were already international. Still, they weren't anywhere near local level because all the travels had kept them busy mingling with other top-notch business partners from all over the world. I don't know about my uncle's dad, but my kunyai had never traveled farther than Thailand's surrounding countries. We flew on a 4-propeller airplane, and the trip took only 34 hours, with 4 other stops in the Middle East along the way. We arrived at Orly Airport, where my aunt and uncle awaited with a rental VW van. You see how early to mid-70s this was? So hippie-ish. Yes, they had a guitar and sang folk songs too. We stayed a few nights in Paris, and then we started our road trip. That was when the fun began. We saw one chateau after another and stayed overnight in inns in small towns. It was fun and challenging from time to time, but it was so wonderful. So we were happy and felt in awe to have seen new places in a different cultural setup. My parents had packed a few suitcases with food items, one of which was given to my aunt and uncle for their own use after we left. Back in the day, you could travel the world with any food item, fresh and dry, and so my parents did. We would stop at farmers markets or at any place that carry vegetables and other ingredients for cooking. My mom would be in charge of it throughout the trip, with me as her helper. We'd pull over at any wooded spot off the main road. I don't want to call those roads highways, cause they weren't. It was like a long, really long camping trip that I wish would never end. My mom cooked all the yummy-licious food because her food doubled, triple, plus more. Super yummy, super tasty, super delicious. And the aromas and the scents. Oh my goodness. So, so good that mom told me to put a restraint to my drooling mouth as if that was possible. There would be other people who also stopped to have their meals, following the smell off and to my mom's cooking. They loved it and they were curious. My aunt and uncle would chat with them, and my dad would ask in English if they wanted to have a taste. Most often, they asked to try it before they were were offered. My mom would shake her head, smile, but give them small samples anyway. Me and artichokes. It was like a dream. 1 minute I was in the van singing along. The next I was standing in front of a large pile of artichoke or artichokes. Holy moly, they were huge. My aunt picked one to show me. Whoa, it's weighty. My sister grabbed it and said she found a new ball. She put it down by her foot and my aunt quickly grabbed it before my sister could kick it. Football! She exclaimed. Like Europeans, Thais called a sport football, not soccer. I took the artichoke football and inspected it. Intrigued by its form, I couldn't keep my eyes off it. My uncle approached and added several of them in the basket he was carrying. We had lunch differently that day. My mom cooked her Thai things while my uncle set another stove, if you can call it that, and started steaming the artichokes. He then mixed French mustard. It was what we had on top of our elbow-long sausages and the same length French bread buns every morning. The mustard was very hot, as hot as the wasabi stuff that my mom had just introduced me to when she took us for my and my sister's first Japanese restaurant experience. This French mustard thing was pretty cool. I mean hot and smell nice too. My uncle mixed French mustard with Maggi and it smelled delicious. I've mentioned Maggi every now and then, and especially in From Gapao to Ki Mao book in one particular yummy noodle recipe. Wow, this makes me hungry. If you haven't made a connection with Maggi, you should. The dipping sauce for steamed artichokes was finished. When the artichokes had cooked and cooled down enough, he taught us how to peel. Petal by petal, and I couldn't wait to get to the ones that I could dip in the creamy hot sauce and nibble the tiny bottom parts. Mmm, delicious. It was love at first sight. I fell in love with French artichokes and couldn't get enough of them. We had them a couple of times more before our vacation was over, but not before my mom and dad grabbed several jars of French mustard to add to our bags. After we had returned to Thailand, my mom drove me to an international store near her office building on Sukhumvit Road to buy imported artichokes. I think she did it for me. I could snack on them all day while lying on my favorite sofa reading a thick book. At 9 in 5th grade, my reading level was 9th grade. My sister didn't care so much about artichokes since she couldn't kick one around as a ball. She viewed them as yet another offensive vegetable type. Besides, she was 5. What the heck does she know anyway? I loved eating artichokes so much that my mom wanted me to try different foods just so I wouldn't throw off my food balancing scale. That was my first love story with a young flower. Pickling, preserved, and crystallized. Throughout Thailand's long history, Thais have been excellent at saving and prolonging the life of their consumable goods. They've been repurposing their leftovers as far back as historians have been taking records. Nowadays, most of those results have become standalone unique dishes. While Thai repurpose to preserve their meals, they preserve and crystallize fruits and only preserve or pickle vegetables. Words for preserved, pickling, or pickled are raksa, like tak raksa, and dong sounds like long. The equivalent of the next word, chaim. Chaim, like Tim in English, is difficult to find. The best I can think of is crystallized and crystallization, chaim. Chaim is the second part in the preservation process, especially in fruit. Come to think of it, I don't think I've seen anyone chaim a vegetable. While salt and or vinegar will be added to preserve or to pickle, sugar is the main ingredient for chaim crystallization. If I break it down further, preserving is an action utilizing heat, while pickling is using fermentation. I grew up with a mom who loved to preserve and crystallize fruits, and she was great at it too. When it comes to preserving or pickling and crystallization, Thais connect them to our intricate art of carving. They themselves are the bridges that blend the two together flawlessly and beautifully. My mom also was one of those detail-oriented, patient, perseverant, and super artistically creative types. She could carve plain-looking straight vegetables and fruits from hard-rooted vegetables and herbs to soft, mushy texture vegetables and fruits and turn them into leaves, flowers, and animals, each with dainty-looking Thai art as their textures and skins. She made several attempts to teach me, got me a beautiful set of knives and tools, but I wasn't made for that kind of patience and perseverance. Most of my friends were learning at the same time when their fingers were still small and their hands light. I was also taught for several years in school, but this art never grew on me. When I was a young teen, I hired people outside my fruit carving classroom windows to finish the job for me. I figured I would make better use of the time doing something I was really, really good at. Do Thais carve fruits and veggies to preserve? Or preserve because they love to carve? The answer could be another question. Egg before chicken or chicken before egg? I know from my mom it was because she loved to carve any edibles she could place her tiny knife on. When my parents weren't traveling, my mom and I would be busy in the kitchen, either baking the most yummy cakes, carving veggies and fruits, or cooking with them, both for meals and for divine Thai desserts. From simple soup, dipping sauce with a whole Himalayan forest on her side vegetables, to beautiful curry and fried meat dishes, and at the end always a refreshing dessert in jasmine infused crystal clear broth with tiny fish, turtles, or any flowers and leaves floating in it. Too beautiful, too delicate to eat, but the scent was so, so good. So we ate anyway. See, we don't need to add coconut milk in every dessert to make it great. Just plain artichoke heart preserved for me. My dad often said that he admired my practicality. "You're real," he added. My mom would immediately say, "Or she's just lazy." I didn't and still don't care about what my mom or anyone else said or says. There are times to spend on things I deem necessary, but preserving, pickling, and crystallizing is not, and probably never will be a priority. Since the last time I moved here to the US 20 years ago, I've done a lot of dong and sha yim, but I never even once think about carving my ingredients. Fine, I feel lazy. The bottom line for me is, one, is delicious, and B, is extending the veggies and fruit shell fresh life. I did that deliberately, FYI. If you missed it, you miss it. No jasmine or rose scents infused in any broth, and no spices or extra seasonings either. Just straight up salt, vinegar, then stevia. Make it so sour, salty, or both, so that when you pop a piece of the fruit or veggie in your mouth, your cheeks will start squirting so much saliva and your taste buds will kick in. My first taste of the artichokes made my eyes twitch and my toenails dig into the kitchen floor. That spelled perfection for me. After the pot cooled out, I transferred until the last drop into a mason jar. It's now sitting on my fridge side door, and I start dreaming of putting a small bowl of it at my desk. This will certainly wake me up when I tend to my least favorite tasks on my monitor. What do you think? Is preserving and pickling your thing too? Let me know in the comments.